Well, and I know what you're hearing is probably upsetting some of you, but it needs to be talked about. It needs to be told. Our special guest tonight, Craig Hewlett, this hour will take phone calls. We've been talking about Ebola, ISIS, and other issues that affect all of us. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us. We'll take your calls. Craig, also, why is the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, buying submachine guns?
Yeah, you were as shocked by that as I was. I put that on the front page of one of my files.
My gosh.
And actually, if you go into the article in depth, there's incidents going on all the time where chicken farmers and milk producers, they're having their farms hit. It's like SWAT teams are coming in, shutting these farms down, going through their records, seizing their computers, all to check out to see that they're under the regulations of USDA. This is a regulatory agency. But that's another example of the complete militarization of not just local law enforcement, but every federal agency in the United States government. They're militarizing. They're gearing up for the day when they know the federal government is going to have to deal with a very unhappy American populace. But one of the ways I think they're going to be able to achieve that objective, to a great degree, I think, is after 1948, there was a law passed, the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948. In 1987, it was bolstered by the Foreign Relations Authorization Act of 1987. That meant using propaganda here domestically on American soil was illegal. You could use it in Radio Free Europe. You could attack Russia with propaganda. You could attack the Middle East with a separate network, radio and TV and publications. In 2013, the National Defense Authorization Act, the one that took away habeas corpus, also nullified those laws. Now the federal government, the Pentagon, the CIA, can legally operate propaganda here domestically against our own people. And one of the ways they're doing it is this new U.S. spy operation out of the Pentagon, out of CENTCOM, that creates a social media network of military personnel who create false personas on social networks like Facebook, Skype, whatever these things are out there, some of which I don't even understand. But each individual serviceman is trained to create what are known in social media as sock puppets, false identities, up to 10 each or more, to create and sell the view of the United States government of any specific issue going on. When these stories first broke, these were back in 2011, 12, 13. Nobody ever put any of these things together. But now if you're paying attention to this development of ISIS, and these appearances suddenly on Facebook of an ISIS member standing with a small young child that looks like she's crying, and the ISIS member is laughing, you can tell it's Photoshopped. It's on Facebook, and they're saying these little children are being beheaded by ISIS members because they're Christians. And then there's a story, same kind of scenario in the social media, where ISIS is going to kill the Pope. Then there's a separate story where ISIS is going to ban evolution being taught in the school systems. Then a separate one, ISIS is going to ban teaching Christian morality or Christian beliefs in the school system. Each one of these propaganda things are targeting a specific audience with ISIS.
Now, do you think any of them are true?
I don't think any of them are true. But to be honest with you, I don't believe a bloody thing that the United States government says to the American people any longer. I think Glenn Greenwald, Snowden, a handful of reporters like Robert Fisk, Seymour Hersh, you know, you, me, I hate to put me in that same category as those icons in my view, but if you're not listening to what those guys are saying, you're being lied to and you're buying it hook, line, and sinker. If you're listening to anything, CNN, Fox News, ABC, CBS is telling you, you're being hoodwinked. Because I just did a almost 200-page study taking each one of these stories by ISIS. I even found the ones about killing the Pope taking and banning evolution being taught in school and then banning Christian teaching. It was the same author. The articles were identical. The headlines changed.
Jeez.
And they were only 2 days apart.
It's a campaign.
Same author, same story, identical story, different headline, 2 days apart. One saying they're going to ban evolution, which will scare all of the public school teachers in America. The other, Christianity. We're going to attack Christianity, eliminate teaching Christian values in the public school system. There, now we've got the Christian community. The next story comes out, we're going to assassinate the Pope. Now you got the Catholics. This is orchestrated. I'm telling you, I have no doubt ISIS is an orchestration by the United States government, and the spy operation, the psychological warfare, is operating out of CENTCOM. All of this has been documented back to 2011.
Is the hate and the butchery real, regardless of whether it was orchestrated or not?
Oh, absolutely.
So it is happening.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? We could solve all the problems over there regarding the United States. Let them have their oil. We don't need.
No, we will become oil. Next year, they say, the biggest oil producer on the planet.
That's correct. But you see, that's not who runs the government, is it? That's not who tells Washington and Obama and Jeb Bush in our future what to do and where to do it and when to do it.
Let's take some calls for you.
Corporations, oil, banks, defense contractors run the show. So we're going to be deluged with propaganda saying this, that, the other. Ebola, ISIS, ISIL, IS, whatever IS is. And by the way, all of those acronyms are falsehoods. All of them are falsehoods. Der Spiegel did an article written by a Muslim, and he said none of those acronyms are valid. Nobody would even use the terminology Islamic State of Iraq, Islamic State. They wouldn't even use it. If they were called anything, it would be Daesh. D-A with a hurt over the E-S-H.
Ready for some calls?
Yes.
Cindy in Peoria, Illinois, get us started. Cindy, go ahead.
Hi, George. I love it when you have him on. I think you should have him on every month. I really
appreciate it. He almost is.
I listen to him all the time. I just love him. But
he's one of my sock puppets.
What?
I was just kidding. I said you were one of my sock puppets.
No, I'm not. Hey, listen. I was about 3 weeks ago, I was listening to Fox News, which I'm getting to the point I just turn them off. They make me sick. But across the ticker tape that was going across the very bottom of the screen, I read, and it said, any bank, the government's going to push this, that any bank in the United States that has over $250 billion in assets has to maintain enough money in that bank to carry them for an entire month. Now, is this going back to the Depression when the banks closed, or what is this deal? Why are they doing this?
They are preparing for exactly that scenario. They know the banks are all in trouble. They know the banks have taken trillions of dollars overseas to tax havens. They don't pay any income tax, and they're not taking that money, their capitalization. They're not bringing that money home in what would be referred to as liquidity to reloan into the domestic economy. So that means every one of the banks out there, the largest banks, are the most vulnerable. All the banks are vulnerable to a run on the banks when the American people finally wake up. If they do, the banks will be in trouble.
Could you think of a better time to be alive, though, Craig? This has got to be one of the most exciting, strange moments of our lifetime.
Actually, you know what? You got me, George. I've never felt more alive.
Same with me.
Great time. I hate what's going on. I know how many people are going to be hurt by it. I know entire families will be destroyed. My clients come out here. We probably drink too much, but we talk into the wee hours for 4 days and four nights. We train to defend yourself, open hand, weapons, knives. And these are very serious men with families, children. These aren't crackpots. These aren't right-wingers. We're not a militia. But I have to tell you, the American people are going to be caught flat-footed. By and large, I think one of the guys you were interviewing earlier, I caught a wisp of it, where he's in the medical profession, and he said, you know, 40-50% of my patients, they don't even know what you're talking about when you say Ebola.
No, they don't.
Well, I got news for you, doctor. I talk to people all day long, and so do you, George. The vast majority of America, I would put it at 75%.
It's
growing.
They don't even
know there's a problem.
You're right, but that's going to change. This thing keeps up. Let's go to Maurice in Ontario, Canada, International Line. Maurice, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi there, Maurice. Go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to bring your attention to a possible cure for Ebola.
All right, what might that be?
I would like your listeners to look up the Bob Beck Protocol on the Internet. This is something that was invented quite a while ago. It was first discovered by two scientists at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York in 1990. They published some scientific papers. This Bob Beck was a physicist and electronics expert from California. He figured a way to simplify it and make it so that anybody could make and use this thing at home.
What is it?
It destroys all kinds of germs, pathogens, viruses, by a tiny electrical current. You have two little electrodes and this little box. You strap it around your wrist over the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was talking about that device last week.
Perfect. So there's that plus the silver colloid and a couple of other things that enter into it.
Well, I've always been a staunch believer in a building up of an immune system and fighting all this, but who knows? I'm not sure I would take the vaccine, Craig, if they offered it to me. Would you?
Probably not. You know, but then I'm of a different nature than most people. I really am not awfully afraid of dying. It just simply isn't in my nature. So I'm not sure that I would. I haven't taken any vaccines. I don't
take the flu shot.
Vaccine or
no,
anything.
I don't either.
But I'm also an incredibly healthy person. I don't even get headaches. So, you know, I'm not sure that my opinion on these things matters very much. I think the American people are going to have to make some very hard decisions, and I think the decisions are going to come with a potential draft of every young man and woman in this country between the ages of 18 and 35.
Oh, jeez.
I think it'll be females. They're talking about women in combat. Every year, there's a bill put forward to institute the draft, not a lottery.
Who's going
to
pay for all that?
Well, that's just it. Again, I'll repeat. I think most of the Western governments are drunk on fiat currency. I think they think they can just create money out of thin air and do whatever they want. But the whatever they want isn't necessarily what we want.
No,
that's
not at all.
That's the problem I see.
Is there going to ever be a whip-around effect where we actually live on a planet that's calm and doing the right thing?
Not in my lifetime.
Or mine.
No, not in my lifetime. You know, we're only into getting close to the 11th generation for a 200-year-old nation, and Plato said that democracies won't last 10 generations. They inevitably collapse into tyranny. I'd hate to see Plato being proven right in my lifetime.
Let's go to Trumansburg, New York. Bruce is with us. Bruce, thank you for calling. You're on the air with us.
I really love listening to this because I missed the beginning of your program, but at the same time is that this whole scenario, what you're saying, just kind of looks like the stage being set for the Antichrist and Jesus Christ coming back.
Hmm.
But the other thing, because the whole world events in Russia, the Middle East and everything is the founding part, and out of Persia shall the Antichrist come. Now, the other thing is Cornell University, which is 11 miles away, is almost being run by the military. They fired up their synchrotron again, and guess what they're going to make? Tactical nukes. The research is being set, and the ironic part about all of this is that most of the students at Cornell University are Chinese. Now, the scenario is that what you say about Ebola and all the other fake stuff, it brought up another thing that I think the viewers should know about, is why do we get these occasional suiciders, the beheading people and stuff? Who's causing that? and who's triggering it? Do they know that the people they're talking with in Facebook are unstable, and they send them out?
Well, there's no question. There are a lot of nuts out there that do things. They're copycats. They're crazy. And I don't think, Craig, we're ever going to stop that.
No, and I don't know if most of the students at Cornell are Chinese either. You know, he just said that, but, you know, are they making tactical nukes at Cornell? I doubt seriously. Yeah, they're making them at Raytheon, Boeing. I understand that, General Electric, but, you know, I let's not get lost here, okay? I think the things that are real, that are already laws set on the books, the things that right in our face, that the IMF, the OECD, the Bank for International Settlements are already putting out paper to the White House and to our government signaling that there'll be no more bank bailouts.
This is it.
No more bank bailouts.
This is it.
No more government money to bail banks out. They're ordering the banks to be bailed in.
If they aren't bailed out, there could be some huge failures. Huge.
By definition, if you read the paper that I've written on the subject, that means, the bail-in means what they refer to at the IMF as financial repression. That means the banks will go into your checking account, your pension fund, your savings account.
And take it.
And take 10, 20%, whatever they desire. Because the law we're living under says that money that you've deposited in your pension fund, your 401k, or the bank, literally the bank itself, that money belongs to the bank. It does not belong to you.
It happened in Greece, didn't it?
It happened in Cyprus just recently.
Next up, we go to Beverly in Dayton, Ohio. Bev, welcome to the program. You're up with us. Go ahead, Beverly.
Hi, George. You and your guest there are both very wise men, and several of the people that have just recently called have made several of the points that I was going to make, but I think I have the final piece of the puzzle. If you can remember, several months ago, it was mentioned that FEMA had been gathering up body bags.
Yes.
And also, curfew signs. Well, we've seen some of that situations happening here in Dayton, too. And the final piece of the puzzle is in the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 17, where no man should be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark on their forehead or their hand.
The good old sign of the beast.
Right. Now, how is your neighbor, your coworker, the person at the grocery store, the child in the school going to be singled out as having this supposed, a bullseye shot and the other person next to them not have it? I believe that the mark is going to be put on the people who are going to get this shot.
Or who don't get it.
Exactly. Yeah, and the ones, or, yeah, one or the other, exactly. And I think this is our government's final move, because if you don't have the mark showing that your neighbor or your coworker or whoever you're with has this mark, you'll be afraid to go near them. Even your own family will turn against you. You won't be able to go to the grocery store. You won't be able to sit in the movie theater. You won't be able to do anything, get gas or anything. Nobody will want to be near you because they don't know if you have the disease or not.
Bev, you could be spot on that. We're going to come back with Craig Hewlett and take final calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Craig Hewlett. And we're going to take final calls with Craig. Next hour, we talk about weird American history. So make sure you're part of the program. We shall be right back. And welcome back to Coast, Craig Hewlett with us. Craig, it's almost as if they, I always like saying that, by the way, they, whoever they may be, they're pulling out all the stops right now. It's almost as if they think they've run out of time.
Well, you know, I don't think we really have to look to the book of Revelations to find our answer, to be honest with you. I'm sorry I have to say that, but I think there are ways of understanding what's going to take place here in America. In a speech in Stockholm, Sweden, vice chairman of the Federal Reserve and former governor of the Bank of Israel, and also he was a former chief economist at the World Bank, Stanley Fischer, he said, and I quote, "The United States is preparing a proposal to require systemically important banks to issue bail-inable, I didn't know that was a word, bail-inable long-term debt? Will it enable insolvent banks to recapitalize themselves in resolution without calling on government funding? This cushion is known as a gone concern buffer. Later on, I dug up what gone concern buffer means, and basically it's the same terminology as financial repression. That bail-inable long-term debt means that they are going to issue the debt within the bank, and they will take your money to pay for the insolvency of the bank. Now, they know they're going to do this, or they wouldn't be preparing.
No, they wouldn't be prepared for it. That's right.
Okay, this isn't a simple ipso facto. This is just simple critical thinking and plain old research and analysis. Now, when they do this, and they start doing this to the American people, and I'm so sorry I have to say this. Many of your listeners, Carl Nelson's listeners, Mills Crenshaw's listeners, talk show hosts like yourselves that have taken a considerable effort to inform your audience of things that matter are going to be aware of some of this. But I would put it at 80% of the American people are completely ignorant of any of what I'm talking about in any way, shape, or form.
Totally in the dark.
So when these things start happening and their money is seized and they're forced to stand in food lines and they are told, you no longer have a pension. And let me tell you how quick it can happen. This is a true story. Somebody that's a personal relationship of mine. He was a founding member of the Microsoft team. He was with Microsoft for 17 years, 11 months and 27 days, I think it was. They fired him just in the nick of time, so he'll never receive his pension. He just got married, had a new baby, bought a new house. This is the way the world really works. Now, when these kinds of things start happening to a large swath of the ignorant America, what do you think they're going to react like?
They will be ticked.
They will be in the streets just like they were when it was done to Cyprus, just like it happened in Egypt. And the United States government, I'm telling you, this is not mythical. The Pentagon already has the legal authority, as of 2 years ago, that the area commander, listen very carefully, the area commander within any region of the United States, near a municipality, a military base, or a rural countryside, the area commander of the nearest military base has the right to move in and take over without the governor's approval or the deputies or the sheriff's department. They can move in and take over and call martial law and quell any civil disturbance if that area commander determines that the state, the governor, or the sheriff cannot handle the civil disturbance. So in other words, posse comitatus is gone. Your right to a judge, habeas corpus, is gone under National Defense Authorization. All of these things, the militarization, Homeland Security's ammo purchases, MRAPs, the militarization of local law enforcement. Why do you think this is happening if they don't know?
Of course they know.
That one day they're going to take your money, your pension, your future away from you so they can continue their global domination in the name of American hegemony.
Mark in Seattle, Washington, it's your turn. Mark, go ahead.
It's a pure pleasure to talk to you tonight, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Mark.
Actually, I wanted to say to Greg, I didn't know if he knew or not, but the American Mint, you know, over the past 26 years, they average about, in October, about the sale of, I think it's the 944,000 Silver Eagles. And on the first day of the month, they shattered that by selling a record 1.5 million. And if I hate anything like he does, it's the fiat currency, because I agree with him, too, that the whole world is drunk on that. And like you said before, if people are going to rise up, they've got it already in plan to where nobody can rise up because they'll squash them right away. So that's what I have to say. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Well, you're right. The silver's going through the roof right now, isn't
that's
it?
That's true. And, you know, and I'm not going to criticize people that sell silver, buy silver, and warn people to buy silver as a hedge against inflation. But let's be clear, okay? I don't think you want to do business on the black market under those kind of conditions with your silver coins, if you've run out of food and water and medicine for your children. I think you're living in a very illusory world if you think you can deal with the people who deal in the black market, because they are today criminals, and tomorrow they will be the same criminals. Unless you Rambo, I don't know how you're going to be spending your gold and silver when things go to hell in a handbasket.
You got to be careful, Tom in Riverside West. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I'm glad to talk to you all. You got a nice program this evening.
Thanks, sir.
No matter what happens here in this country, I've been following this for 20 years, and there was a gal named Joan Bion that did a beautiful job, wrote the book The Global Straitjacket back in 98, and I was involved with a couple, not so much militias, but similar groups. And this is nothing new. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. The money, you can't isolate yourself, and you prepare yourself to the point where you're going to survive all this. You know? And even if you did, would it do you any good? The thing of it is you've got to, regardless of every individual thing, you've got to organize. You've got to stand shoulder to shoulder with your neighbor. Like John Kennedy said, every individual, each individual can make a difference, and every person should try. And that's what we've got to do in this country. And it doesn't matter what God can take care of what God's going to do. And I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. And God will figure out what he's going to do. We don't have to worry about God, but we need to do what we need to do now. And in the NRA has made a very strong effort to defend our Second Amendment. And other people like Joan Bion and others, you all have made a tremendous effort to awaken us. And we've been slapped in the face by the Kennedy assassination, by 9/11, over and over again. But our country's being really inundated with people who just come here and just want to get a cut of the pie. They want to make their, you know, there's nothing wrong. They just want to have a life. And that's okay. But, you know, when they ended the draft, that was a mistake. I thought it was a pretty good idea back then. But when they ended that draft, that was a mistake, because it needs to be a civilian input and a civilian population. Every citizen should be in the draft. And of course, our government's not our government, so they can't reinstitute that. What it's going to take is the Tea Party, the NRA, and other similar Christian organizations to organize and confront this. And regardless of what the odds are, I mean, the drones that they're putting in here is ridiculous. But again, you can't control. This is not our government anymore. We're probably one of our best hopes is Russia. But Putin has a head on his shoulder, and he's just like we are. You know, he's trying to defend against his government that was broke down by our government that was used to break his government down, because they had to break America and they had to break Russia before they could do what they're doing right now.
Well, let's get Craig's reaction to this. And Craig, I never thought I'd see the day where so many people would think that Vladimir Putin was a hero.
Well, you know, I don't know if he's a hero. I know what he is as a Russian. And, you know, long, the early days in my work, going back 37 years, you know, there's no question I was heavily involved in research and analysis against the Soviet Union and looking at what they were capable of in places like Afghanistan. I was a writer and a friend of Soldier Fortune magazine editor and publisher Bob Brown. I wrote articles for him. Look, this that is taking place, this guy's correct at one point, clearly. This is no longer our government. It's someone else's government. It's someone else's ruling. It's someone else's deciding what to do with us, with our country, with our resources, with our military. And he's right. God will take care of God, okay? You need to take care of yourself. But I want to introduce something to your audience you may be totally unaware of. I do a show every month in Washington, D.C. It's an all-black station. It's syndicated on dozens of stations nationwide. His name is Carl Nelson. That station is almost 100% black listening audience. They sound exactly like your callers and the callers in Utah with Mills Crenshaw. The black community knows exactly what Obama is and what he's doing to the country. They're as afraid of him. They know the destruction. They discuss with me when I do his show about the NRA and gun ownership. They want to stand shoulder to shoulder with good Americans, white, black, Hispanic. They don't even care. I don't care if you're illegal alien. If you're a good man and you want to live free and you want to live in America and make America and the U.S. Constitution what it was originally, I'll stand with any man. I don't care if he comes from Guadalajara. We need to take the country back and restore the Constitution. And if you think you can do it with just your peculiar set of friends against the United States government, you're wrong.
But I think in the long run, Craig, that we're going to win.
You know why? I was told once when I discussed exactly this, a leftist was in the audience. I'll say his name, Dennis Bernstein. He was listening to the show. And he interrupted the interview and he said, you know, the United States can't rise up against our own government. Our government's got cruise missiles and F-16s, for heaven's sakes. You know what I say to him? Afghanistan.
Look what happened there.
Don't tell me you can't fight against this powerful American machine. So get off your butt and stand up and be an American and quit being so damned afraid.
Pat is in Minneapolis, east of the Rockies. Pat, it's your turn.
I still appreciate President Eisenhower warning about the military-industrial complex, but I always say the sword makers loved Julius Caesar and the bow and arrow makers, they loved Alexander the Great. However, on the Ebola subject, I'm wondering if you guys have heard anything about a doctor in Africa who decided to try HIV and AIDS drugs on his Ebola patients, and 13 out of the 15 were cured and survived.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple days ago, as a matter of fact.
Have you heard anything more about that?
No, nothing more.
Nothing. I received one article. I was never able to substantiate any of it beyond that, and I've heard nothing since.
Craig, as we move into another year, 2015, right around the corner here. Give me your predictions on that year. What's going to happen?
Are you including the presidential elections?
Yeah.
Well, I think the joke, the biggest joke on America is going to be Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush and the mainstream media and journalists, Thomas Friedman. They're all just all a quiver how exciting and wonderful the theater is going to be because they know it's just theater. It's going to be an extravaganza. They're so tickled. It's like, oh, my God, it's going to be like Richard Gere and Barbara Streisand. Oh, it's just wonderful. Jeb Bush and Hillary. I got news for you. It's the death knell of America if either one of them wins.
We've got time for a couple more quick calls. Let's go to Jerry in Lincoln, Illinois. Jerry, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, I wanted to, you know, just call in and remind everybody about, you know, we've got vaccines being given to all our children, you know, 38 of them before the age of two and that type of stuff. And, you know, our government is being turned into a puppet for the pharmaceutical industries. And I just wondered what your guests thought about that.
Well, I think he'd agree with that. Go ahead, Craig.
That oil industry, missile industry, defense contractors, yeah. Our government is a puppet regime for the largest multinational monopoly predator corporations on the planet, most of them Western-led and controlled. We don't own the government any longer. The corporate structure does. And it has an ideology, by the way, corporatism. Corporatism is an ideology, just like Menshevism, Bolshevism, socialism, republicanism, libertarianism. Corporatism is an ideology. Learn about it. Look it up and Google it. Figure out what corporatism is. Then you'll know who's running our government. And it ain't the White House.
And you know what? I think a lot of people would not care, Greg, if they were working. if corporatism put them to work, but it's not happening.
Well, that's because they don't represent the domestic population of any country. They're a corporation. They're gold-collar worker. They're Samuel P. Huntington's gold-collar workers who they live in a global empire. They see riches in China and Afghanistan. They just discovered $1 trillion in raw materials
in Afghanistan.
And 2 weeks later, we announced that we're not pulling the troops out. We signed a new agreement to stay in Afghanistan. Do you think that's a coincidence?
There are no coincidences.
There's
no
such thing in government as a coincidence.
Steve in Sacramento, California. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hello there, Stephen.
And Mr. Hewlett, how you doing?
Well.
Okay. I think you're very courageous for what you do. And I'm just wondering, you step on some toes, I'm sure, with government officials. What, if any, has been your most dangerous encounter with a government official or government entity? And what can we do at the grassroots level to stop this mayhem that the government's doing to us?
I can't help you with what you could do. If you've heard enough, I'm hoping you'll get well-informed enough to make that decision. As far as what I've done personally and my concern for the government, I have a wonderful sign out front on my property. It says, "Home Invasion Welcome."
You know why. You're loaded to the gills with guns.
And I got 7 chows. they want to come knock a no-knock on my door. Please, just do it.
Well, let me tell you, the ironic thing of all of this, put a sign in front of your house that says, "I am a gun-free house." You're going to get robbed.
It only makes sense. No, I really do have a sign out front that says home invasion.
I love it. Greg, minute to go. Wrap up. Go ahead.
You've got one more election, one more presidential election to wake up. One more. Because when Jeb Bush becomes president, and that's the plan. I don't know, but we don't need Hillary. She wants to be commander-in-chief of World War III. And I didn't say that. One of her own people said that. One of her own members of her crew, Ralph Nader, said that about her. But if Jeb Bush becomes president, I assure you he will come after your guns.
Jeb?
Jeb Bush, NRA member, conservative Christian Republican. They're not going to try it with an Obama.
No, not at all. Greg, thanks for being on the show. Let's keep in touch, my friend.
Always.
Greg Hewlett, website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to switch gears when we come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about some weird things. On Coast to Coast? No, you're kidding, right? Weird America, next.